and ask, do we have a quorum of the Operations Committee?
Mr. Chair, we do have a quorum.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Under agenda item number 2, my name is Jake McKenzie, representing Sonoma County, and my vice chair's kicking around here somewhere, Mr. Mullen. So, consent calendar. I would ask for a motion to adopt the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second. Is that all those in favor of adopting it, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That consent calendar is adopted. We have two programmatic items in front of us today. The first one is one for approval by the Operations Committee. It does not advance to the full commission, so we are responsible for taking action today. And it's on the 511 traffic and 511 transit contract actions. And we have Jim McCray here with us today, who's going to lead this discussion. So,
yes.
Mr. McCray, on you go.
Thank you very much. Good morning, commissioners. I'm Jim McCray. I work on the 511 staff. And I'm here today to request approval to add Homeland Security grant funds to two of our 511 contracts. Since they do relate to improving 511 emergency response, we thought this would be a great opportunity for Radia Victor to give an update on MTC's response to the June 14th West Oakland fire and subsequent BART Transbay shutdown. So I'll hand it over to Radia.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Good morning. BART's 14-hour Transbay service disruption served as an opportunity for the region to really test its emergency coordination protocols and procedures, as well as to identify lessons learned to enhance our regional response capabilities. The incident coincidentally occurred on the same day that MTC was scheduled to conduct a regional emergency preparedness exercise, so we were definitely prepared to jump right into action and activate our EOC. In terms of modified transit service that was provided, AC Transit and WEDA during the AM commute period provided expanded service. And during the PM commute, MTC was able to facilitate a bus bridge that was provided by transit operators such as SoulTrans, Tri-Delta, LAFTA, and the VTA. Those agencies shuttled commuters from the San Francisco Transbay Terminal to the MacArthur BART station in Oakland. To just give you a little perspective on the number of buses that would possibly be needed to support the Transbay service ridership, a 10-car train typically carries 1,200 people. A capacity of a bus is 50 individuals. So for just one 10-car BART train, you would need at least 24 buses just for one train, just to kind of give you a sense of the scale of an impact of Transbay service lost. So a considerable amount of time and resources will definitely be necessary in response to larger scale emergencies. However, as WEDA expands its service, ferries will in the future be able to provide that additional capacity. There were additional traffic control measures that were provided by the Freeway Service Patrol, Caltrans, and CHP. CMS signs were activated advising the public to use alternate bridges. Lane closures were canceled, as well as motorists were advised to use alternate forms of transportation. Information on transportation alternatives were provided on 511. During incidents like this, 511 experiences real spikes in usage. I'd like to direct your attention to Attachment A in the packet. It provides trends of 511's use during incidents. If you also take a look at Attachment B, you'll see that 511 experienced or received 40,000 phone calls, which represents 116% increase over normal weekday call volume. Additionally, 511.org website also experienced 84,000 user sessions, which represents approximately a 400% increase in usage. So needless to say, 511 is definitely recognized as a go-to source for information following major incidents and emergencies. In the coming weeks, MTC, in coordination with BART, will be conducting a regional debrief with all of the regional transportation agencies to identify mitigation measures that can be quickly implemented to ensure the region's ability to provide additional transportation services for the public in future incidents.
Thank you very much for that report, and I'd like to ask committee members if they have any questions about the report we've just received. I would just like to ask, at any time was the system overwhelmed, or at all times was the 511 phone and online service, they were able to handle this very dramatic increase?
Yes.
That's what I call a good report.
Vice Chair. Mr. Chair, thank you very much for the report. Kevin Mullen, Cities of San Mateo County. I'm just curious, you mentioned that this happened on a day when a planning exercise was initiated already, which helped in this process. I'm curious what would have happened if you hadn't had this exercise planned and how it would have been different. Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Well, in terms of the transit operators' response, they are prepared on responding to, because this was really a localized incident. In terms of MTC's response, we do have an EOC, so there would be some additional time associated with us getting staff assembled in our emergency operations center, as well as setting up the equipment. So for all intents and purposes, we work very closely with the transit operators, and we have defined emergency coordination and response procedures that the agencies are very familiar with. So we would have expected to have a very similar response. MTC coordinates regional conference calls, and that's something that we're always able to coordinate very, very quickly, regardless of actually setting up an EOC. And so that gets the process underway in terms of coordination amongst the various transit agencies.
Okay. Thank you very much for that report, and thanks to staff for being on top of that, and undoubtedly an exciting and long day. But back to the business of this committee, we have a couple of items we need to take action on. So, Jim, if you could lead us through those, please.
Certainly. Thank you. So, we are requesting adding these funds to the two contracts, 501 Traffic and 501 Transit. 501 Traffic, the funds are to build and implement a new emergency messaging tool. So basically, this is to build on MTC's investment on digital displays that are going up at regional transit hubs. And what this tool is going to be able to do is allow MTC staff and also transit agency staff to remotely add emergency messages to these digital displays. So that's what we're asking for the traffic contract. On the 501 transit contract, we're asking to add funds to build and implement a new online schedule management tool. And basically what this is, it's a tool that transit agencies, ferry operators, they can actually, if they're changing their schedule in response to an emergency, they can go online and in real time change their schedule on the 501 system. So it's an effective way to get out changes in transit agency schedules out to the public. Both tools, we think, are very much going to enhance 501's emergency response capabilities, so I'm asking for approval.
Thank you for that report. Any questions of staff? Commissioner Green has a question or a statement.
Or something. During these, when you talk about the regional transit hubs getting these message displays, what's going to be the further integration of on the Caltrans display boards, as you see up and down 880 or 580 or 101, when it talks about number of minutes to a specific location? And sometimes they override, though, with saying ahead there's going to be this semi-disaster or a huge delay. Are we going to see a different integration or an override system there as to when a message goes up on that board rather than having the 8 minutes to here, 10 minutes to there, and 15 minutes to location three? Or what's going to be the new or is there going to be any new process there?
Right. So the changeable message signs on the freeway, Caltrans is responsible for those. So I think they have their standard operating procedures when messages, or I'm sorry, when emergencies are taking place. And then they do take down those travel times, and they do replace it with emergency messaging. We did work on the June 14th event. We were in contact with Caltrans trying to understand what messaging they were putting up on those signs. And I think it's one of the lessons learned that we should coordinate more with Caltrans on emergency days to come up with a message that we think is best for the region.
So as you go through these debriefings that you were talking about, it would seem to me, Commissioner Green, that it would be useful to report back to us as to how your suggestions were received by Caltrans to make sure that you get that coordinated effort. Because I would agree with the Commissioner that mm-hmm. this would be worthwhile to have a more rapid response on the freeway signs. So okay. That would be very useful if you could come back to a later meeting of this committee.
Definitely. After the conclusion of the debrief, we'll be preparing an after-action report, and we'll definitely come back to this committee and report those recommended improvement actions.
Thank you. We have two contracts in front of us, and unless legal counsel has some objection, I'm going to ask that we vote on them at one time. Is that okay or not? That's fine. Okay, I'd entertain a motion. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Both those contracts are approved, and these do not go forward to the full commission. I will sign off on these. Thank you very much. Agenda item number four. We're going to move to hear from Mr. Weir. Mr. Weir is around here. Oh, there he is. Sorry, I'm just looking in the wrong direction. Apologies, David.
That's all right. Certainly all right.
You have, as is seen up on the screen, a PowerPoint presentation on customer service operations and performance by Clipper. This is in response to requests by committee members to be so briefed. So welcome, and we look forward to your presentation.
Thank you, Commissioners. And I'm David Weir, a Senior Program Coordinator for Clipper on the MTC staff. And I do have a few PowerPoint slides to present on the topic of Clipper customer service. Also, we have with us Matt Newsom, who is the Vice President of West Coast Operations for Cubic Transportation Systems, the Clipper contractor for MTC, and he'll be happy to answer any questions that you have that might be appropriately directed to Cubic. As Commissioner McKenzie said, the idea for this presentation arose out of interest expressed by some commissioners at an administration committee meeting a few months back. This first slide shows the growth in Clipper transactions from June 2010 to May 2012, June 2010 being the month in which we switched from TransLink to Clipper. With this growth, we can legitimately claim that Clipper is the largest regional smart card program in the country when you consider the combination of transactions, the number of participating transit agencies, and devices in the field. The next slide contrasts that growth in transaction with the relative stability in the number of monthly website visits to the Clipper website and the number of telephone calls to the Clipper Customer Service Center. For the last 2 years, we've consistently had about 200,000 visits to the Clipper website per month and about 30,000 calls to the call center, while growing transactions from less than 5 million to more than 17 million a month. And so we believe that contrast in growth in card usage compared to the stability in the number of customer contacts supports the contention that Clipper works for most customers because they're able to use their Clipper card without needing assistance. Another way to evaluate the Clipper program is through the results of random surveys to cardholders. Yeah, no, you're good. No, go back.
Go back.
I'm sorry. There we go. We're
on the bullets at the bottom.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Okay. And so consistently, a substantial percentage of both registered and unregistered cardholders reported that they were very satisfied or somewhat satisfied with Clipper, and only a few percent said that they were dissatisfied. We did a similar survey in 2010, and it had the same consistent results of the percentage of satisfied versus unsatisfied customers. So we've maintained consistency in meeting customer expectations while continuing to grow. All right. The top bullet points on this slide give you a high-level breakdown of the reasons that customers contact the call center. One point to draw from this is that a significant portion of all contacts are requests just to get information. Now, all this is not to suggest that everything is rosy with Clipper's customer service. But relatively speaking, the number of complaints is small compared to the overall size of the Clipper program. The Clipper website offers people an opportunity to submit a comment to Clipper, and they can characterize that submission as a, quote, complaint if they so choose. The number of submissions, so classified, has been trending downward from 890 in October 2010 to 492 in May 2012. The complaints that are escalated to MTC by a customer or on a customer's behalf has also been trending downward, and it's a very small number. We peaked at 43 last September, and we had 15 in each of the months of April and May 2012. MTC and Cubic use performance service level standards, or key performance indicators, to measure our overall customer service performance. We periodically add or remove standards in response to what appears to be the biggest drivers to customers' satisfaction with Clipper. And Cubic's performance on those standards has financial consequences for them. There's certainly room for improvement with Clipper's customer service, but it's a challenging endeavor. Often we've stated that Clipper is a very complicated system because we've essentially adopted whole hog the existing different fare structures of the participating transit agencies. Maintaining and explaining Clipper, it can ask a lot of the people that work on it. Using and understanding Clipper can ask a lot of the cardholders that have a Clipper card. And in recognition of how sometimes it is hard for people to understand how Clipper works and how to use it, this slide lists some of the projects that we've got in the works that are intended to improve the customer's experience with Clipper. More and better emails, an improved website, more self-service options when you call the call center, and offering for the first time mobile features related to Clipper. Sometimes we fall short in meeting customers' expectations or their needs, and then perhaps that customer might call you or somebody else that they think can make a difference. But overall, we staff think that Clipper's customer service meets customers' needs and expectations, and MTC and Cubic are working together to try to do an even better job at providing quality customer service to Clipper customers. I thank you for your time. Welcome any questions or comments you might have.
One thing I might ask if Mr. Newsom might care to give us a few words, since it's your performance that has been critiqued, and so it would only seem fair that you'd have a chance to say something to the committee, and welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak in front of the committee. We've been working, you know, very closely together for the last 2 years, and I've worked on several programs across the United States, and I've never seen growth this fast in a program. To go from 3 million to 17 million in less than 2 years is fantastic. And working together, we've certainly had some struggles, but we've made it through all the struggles. And I think one of the most impressive graphs that David put up really is how fast the program has grown, but how consistent the calls and the contacts are to the center. And again, it doesn't mean that we're stopping. We've hired some new trainers. We've got some new processes in place that David talked about, some new technology that we're going to add only to keep improving it. So I really look forward to working with the staff just to keep it a world-class system like it is.
Thank you very much. And again, in the same spirit as the last topic we were on, I certainly think it would be worthwhile for the Clipper program to be coming back in front of this committee on a regular basis to keep us up to speed. I mean, you've given us a good report, but I think a couple of people at a budget hearing or something say, isn't it about time we heard about it? I think it merits, it's such an important part of our overall program, it merits a regular updating. But that's the chair's comment. Do other committee members have any comments? I see no lights on. This was an informational item. I thank you very much for being here today to present to us, and appreciate all the hard work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well done. Okay, that brings us to what I believe is the last item on this agenda, which is public comment. There are no public comment cards. Is there any other business? There seems to be no other business. The next meeting would therefore be on Friday, September 14th, and it says at 10 a.m. So, committee meeting adjourned. Mr. Chair?